Welcome to the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. In this podcast, we're reflecting on Sligo Rovers' 3-1 win over Drogheda, and we'll have more on day two of the Women's National League. If you want to hear analysis of Friday night's matches with Keith Tracy and Owen Heary, amongst others, you can find that wherever you get your podcasts or on extratime.com. Now, I was supposed to be coming to you from Bishopsgate. However, Longford Town's First Division clash with Treaty United was postponed. Let's go to the showgrounds, where Sligo Rovers continued their good start to the season with a 3-1 victory against Drogheda United. ExtraTime.com's Donal Ryan was on commentary alongside former Rovers and Finn Harps player Declan Boyle, and afterwards, they sent this voice note.
Thanks, Oisin. Yes, Sligo Rovers 3, Drogheda United won. A very impressive performance from John Russell's men this evening. Declan Boyle, you were alongside me on LOI TV this evening, I suppose. What did you make of that tonight?
Listen, an excellent performance, really good, especially getting a big victory, 3 points. I mean, John Russell wanted 3 points in a big performance, and he got that from his players tonight. I think the subs coming on made a big difference in the game. Just when we lacked a wee bit of energy, John made substitutions at really crucial times, and from that, we actually went on and we got a bit of energy. Drogheda United another night could have scored 2 or 3 goals tonight, but big saves, crucial times by Ed McGinty, and also bad finishing by Drogheda United tonight. But the quality of the goals of Sligo Rovers, 3 goals, were top drawer goals. Really team confidence, gives the team loads of confidence. Obviously the combination play with Max Mallett scoring 2, and the deliveries of the ball from Chapman and from Wilson down the right hand side, and there was Max Mallett to finish it off, and 2 really good goals. And then Wilson Aguero came on sub and scores the cheekiest goal you would like, but it kills the game and makes it a 3-1 game, and a brilliant performance, gives us 9 points, pushes into third. So it's a really positive start by Sligo Rovers. But John Russell will be saying to his players, brilliant performance, let's not get carried away, long way to go in the season. But what it does is it breeds confidence in the players, gives them confidence to go out and believe that they're good enough to go on and topple the top teams, and making sure that here is a fortress and a difficult place for teams to come.
Absolutely. And as we said on the commentary this evening, Declan, this came down to which team was going to take their chances. Drogheda had a handful of chances, especially at the start of the first half, France Piero in particular, but they couldn't take them, and then Sligo Rovers hit them on the break. Excellent teamwork to double their lead going into half time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Piero had 2 or 3 chances, and another day he could have scored, and he had a chance with a header as well in the second half, where Ed McGinty pulled a wonderful save out and great ball in from the left hand side by Aaron McNally. And that one is crucial time, because it was 2-1, and that when he scores, that was back to 2-2, and it's a different game, obviously. And just from that, we go up then and score 3-1 and kill the game. But I mean, it's all about taking your chances at this level. Max Mata is a difference again, and we need him scoring goals. Obviously Wilson Aguero coming up top, and Smith as well coming on, and was brilliant when he came on, really having an impact in the game. And that's what you want your substitutions coming in and having an impact in the game, and everyone that came on today then to change the game and give that extra energy. But it's all about 3 points, it's all about your big performance, and you couldn't ask any more from the players tonight.
Absolutely. Drogheda did have their chances, and Everywhere in particular was tricky for them this evening.
Yeah, Everywhere, quality player, obviously, isn't he, alone, isn't he, from England, but his deliveries, he scored a wonderful free kick early in the season, but his deliveries were good tonight, right on the money, every single time. And when he puts the ball into those areas, he tests the defenders. Do you drop off, do you go and head it, do you keep a high line? The quality of his balls coming in puts you under pressure. But at times tonight, big Nando came in, Pianca, and he just went one and one, really, really vital balls, one good aerial balls. Well, when it was a dirty ball to go in one, he goes in ones and gets a good clear header and clears the ground, and clears the lines for Sligo Rovers. But it's an excellent performance. The crowd were fully supportive of the team and got behind them and drove them over the line tonight. And we're going to need that throughout the season. We need the players to perform, but we also need the supporters to come behind us and support us the whole way.
Thanks very much for that, Declan. There you have it, Oisin, from the showgrounds this evening. It's finished. Sligo Rovers 3, Drogheda United 1. Sligo Rovers up to third in the table after an impressive victory tonight.
The view of former Sligo Rovers and Finn Harps player Declan Boyle alongside ExtraTime.com's Donal Ryan. This is what Drogheda manager Kevin Doherty had to say to LOI TV.
Played really, really well. Some really good attacking football, and it's hard to explain. The goals you conceded were poor, obviously. I suppose you'd find fault in any goal you conceded, but they were. But I thought we were really good. Now you say you're really good and you're beating 3-1, it doesn't sound great, but I thought we were.
I think if you watched the game, it might not have reflected a 3-1 scoreline. I mean, some of the goals the Sligo Rovers scored, you say, were poor from a Drogheda United perspective, but Drogheda did have chances, especially at the start of the first half.
Yeah, and I mean the second half as well, we had plenty of chances, and if you don't take chances you get nothing.
Drogheda United manager Kevin Doherty speaking to LOI TV following their 3-1 defeat to Sligo Rovers. Now, as I was saying earlier on, I was actually supposed to be at Longford Town against Treaty United, but the game was postponed. So I listened to most of the Sligo Rovers game on my way back. Yes, I'm hosting a podcast without having seen any of the games I'm actually talking about, but of course, you know why that is. But judging by the commentary, Drogheda United weren't actually that bad in this game, and maybe can consider themselves unlucky not to have got a draw. There was a full programme of games in the SSE Airtricity Women's Premier Division. Bohemians beaten 1-0 at home by Athlone Town. Shamrock Rovers drawing 1-1 with Wexford. Pymount losing 2-0 to Shelburne. That's quite a statement from Shelburne early in the season. A long time to go though. A long way to go yet. Treaty United beating DLR Waves 2-0. And Galway United overcoming Cork City 5-0 in what I would call a weather-affected game. Well, certainly the venue was very influenced by the weather. ExtraTime.com's Paul Corcoran was at the game and afterwards sent us this voice note.
Hi Oisín, it's just gone full time here up in Headford at Moinvilla FC's all weather pitch. The Galway United and Cork City game being moved out to Headford due to a lot of heavy rain and the pitch at AM&DC Park being deemed unplayable earlier today. A bit of a one-sided affair. Galway United on their first attack took the lead, Lindsay McKee playing the ball right across goal and Jenna Slattery finishing into the bottom corner. Not long after, Julianne Russell got on the score sheet for the first time tonight. With her back to goal, she somehow managed to shimmy through the defence and then finish to put United 2-0 up. In the second half, Galway United began their scoring in that second period with a penalty when Lindsay McKee was taken down in the box, Jenna Slattery finishing from the penalty spot for the second week in a row. Julianne Russell then got her second. Jenna Slattery taking maybe a lot of the ball right across the field, but she found Julianne Russell right in front of goal with a lovely high ball over the defence, and Russell just had to finish from close range, nice and easy. Russell then finished off her hat trick before the end of the game, with Jenna Slattery again finding Russell who'd put in loads of running all throughout the evening. She managed to round the Cork City goalkeeper. Although she was at a tight angle, she managed to finish into the empty net to secure her hat-trick and a 5-0 win for Galway United. The final score here in Headford is Galway United 5, Cork City 0.
And after that match, Paul caught up with Galway manager Phil Trull.
Obviously getting the game going in the first part was probably really, really difficult. But the ladies were excellent. I thought really controlled throughout. Cork had one or two chances, but I felt we were a just result. You know, we deserved exactly what we got. It doesn't always go that way in football, but so proud of them. I think some of the stuff they're playing is really, really progressive. And look, it's just building on what we did last year. Again, another clean sheet. I think there's a mad stat. I think we've something like 13 clean sheets in a row or something. I don't know, 13 out of 15 or something. But look, really happy, really progressive. And wow, like, you know, Julianne Russell makes history becoming Galway United's first ever hat-trick goal scorer.
I didn't know that's another great stat.
Yeah.
Maybe fitting in a way. A bit of a Galway footballing legend. So, you know, she's not long, technically not long at the club, but nearly fitting that Julianne Russell gets the first hat-trick. But I suppose when coming in, you know, obviously we were speaking before coming out of recording, the venue change. I mean, maybe I don't know that unsettled the players at all, but he didn't seem to miss a beat. I don't know, would that affect a performance or anything like that? Or?
I actually spoke about it with the players, and I said if this was this time last year, I felt it would massively affected us.
Yeah.
I just think we're quite focused on ourselves and really content in knowing what we have to do, you know.
Yeah.
And definitely having that year seems to have helped us. It's very early days, but look, the last two performances have been really good. Some of the performances in pre-season were really good, specifically the Shamrock Rovers game were really good. So look, it's a pitch, it's a game. We're going to have things change on us during games, and it's how can we react about that. But overall, look, really, really proud and very thankful to Moinvilla FC for hosting us at very short notice, and also thankful to Cork City as well, because you know a lot of people pulled together here to make this game happen, and you know, very grateful for Cork because look, it's not obviously a great result for them, but they came up and they did everything they could, and it was a competitive game in spells. I know the scoreline is there, but you know, like it was competitive. We just probably had that killer instinct.
And like I said, just on the game itself, I feel like maybe even last year, I feel like maybe it was the first time we played Cork last year, and I feel sometimes maybe Galway maybe tended to make hard work of things sometimes, but it maybe wasn't the case tonight. Like, he came out from the off and had a lot of chances, a lot of possession, and just really took charge of the game from
like most of the 90 minutes. And I don't know what's behind that. Is there maybe improvement in the off season, or what do you put that down to?
I think it was showing like how close we were last year and how consistent we could get, and just doing it earlier, you know. And I will also say I think it's very positive that a lot of support has been given to the ladies. We have a massive backroom team. They're myself, but there's 12, 13 people, you know, and all the way down to medical support and everything. And like, it creates a good atmosphere. It creates a good club and a good sense of identity. And look, it's something we've definitely progressed on this year. Yeah. So look, but it's all the ladies. They're a year older now. Like Eve Dawson's not 19 until July or something. Like it's baffling. Like, but probably has 15 clean sheets.
Yeah,
you know, in the league. So look, really positive, really, really happy for her. So and everybody. So look, let's hope it continues.
And I suppose, I mean, maybe I'll be hyperbolic if that's the right word for a brief second. Look, I could pick out Jenna Slattery, I suppose, and Julianne Russell for, you know, quality performances. But I don't know. Maybe I don't know if I'm on the spot, but Isabella Beletic, possibly one of the best midfielders in the league. That's from my vantage point up there behind the railing. But just watching her tonight, there's a lot of stiff competition out there, but I just think everything she does is high quality. But I don't want to put you on the spot.
Yeah, no problem. She's the best, she's the best in that position, best in that role I've ever seen playing this league, being honest. Because I think it is that she's Busquets, like, you know, you don't see her, but when you do see her, you see everything. And the big improvement for her tonight was that progressive pass that set us on our tone. And last year we went left and right and back and all that, whereas that's a progressive pass. And she's definitely developed, and she's doing really well. And, you know, people probably need to start to give her the respect she deserves in that. Like, she does an awful lot of untidy work, and there's a young kid there coming behind her, Duffy, that comes on a good bit as well, and she's got that same reading of the game as well. So yeah, look, really good. But like, it is a team, it's a massive squad, and look, they're all really a joy to work with.
And then look, the last one then, I suppose, you know, you turn the attention to Galway United defending their All-Ireland Cup crown beginning that next weekend against Sligo Rovers. With any thoughts heading into that game?
Yeah, listen, Connacht Derby is always good. Yeah. Last time we went up there in the competition, I think we won it. Yeah. So it's good. Tommy will have them well drilled. I think the week off probably be good, considering the result they got, how hard they worked last week in Talca Park, and deserved the result, by the way. So look, it's going to be no mean feat to go up there and try and beat them. But let's just keep doing what we're doing, and let's see how we go. Like, competitions doesn't necessarily matter. You see that with good teams. It's about consistency of performance. The competition shouldn't matter. What name is on it shouldn't matter. It's about playing for Galway United. Yep.
Phil Trill, the Galway United manager, speaking to Paul Corkin of ExtraTime.com following their 5-0 victory against Cork City. It's just the second day of the Women's National League, so we won't get too stressed about the table just yet. We'll have a look at it in a second. We'll start though with the men's Premier Division. Shelburne on top on 16 points, 5 clear of Derry City. That kind of didn't change from last night. What has changed is that Sligo Rovers have jumped into third position thanks to their 3-1 win over Drogheda United. They're on 9 points, Waterford 4th on 8 points, Galway 5th on 7 points, Bohemian 6th on 7 points, Shamrock Rovers 7th on 6 points, having won their first game of the season last night. St. Pat's 8th on 6 points, Drogheda United 9th on 4 points, and Dundalk bottom on 2 points. The table not looking particularly good for Louth at the moment. Let's have a look at the Women's Premier Division table. Just 2 games in, of course. Galway United on top on 6 points. They've won 2 from 2. We heard from their manager earlier. Shelburne, with that victory against Piemont, are in second place. They're on 4 points. Treaty United 3rd on 3 points. Bohemians 4th on 3 points. Piemont 5th on 3 points. Athlone 6th on 3 points. Shamrock Rovers 7th on 2 points. Sligo Rovers 8th on 1 point, but they have played only 1 game. DLR Waves 2nd from bottom on 1 point. 3rd from bottom on 1 point. Wexford in 10th, that's 2nd from bottom on 1 point. And Cork City, bottom of the table on no points. No First Division action on Saturday night, so that means the table hasn't changed. But just in case you didn't listen to Friday's podcast, I'll go through it anyway. Cork City on top on 13 points. Treaty United 2nd on 10 points, but they have a game in hand on Cork City. Finn Harps 3rd on 10 points. UCD 4th on 6 points. Cove Ramblers 5th on 5 points. Athlone Town 6th on 5 points. Bray Wanderers 7th on 4 points. Wexford 8th on 3 points. Kerry 2nd from bottom on 2 points. And Longford, who've only played 2 games, bottom on no points. That's it for the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. I'll repeat, if you want reaction to Friday night's games, then go to wherever you get your podcasts, or to ExtraTime.com, and you'll find a link to Friday night's podcast. Remember, you can get me on at Oisín Langan, and you can get all the information you need on the League of Ireland on extratime.com. Please do like, subscribe and comment, by the way, on the podcast across the various platforms. It really does help us. That's it for myself, Oisín Langan. Have a good St. Patrick's weekend. If you're listening on Monday, I hope you had a good St. Patrick's weekend. Take care. Bye-bye.